Welcome to the network Survive to Thrive at www.survive2thrive.net. That's survive, the number two, thrive.net. We hope you'll find the commentary from our hosts interesting and helpful. Steve Quayle will host on Fridays, Hawk on Thursdays, Steve St. Clair, Darren Craddock, and occasional guests on Wednesdays, Nathan Leal on Tuesdays, and Darren on Mondays. These are trying times that look to be getting more and more challenging every day. Our hosts want to keep you informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas, health that you will need to survive and thrive in these challenging times. Please keep in mind that these shows do cost money to air, and presently EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with information, but also with incredibly effective products designed to bring you to optimum health, your natural state. By supporting EnerHealth, you support this network, and your own health and ability to thrive in these times. Go to survive2thrive.net, that's www.survive2thrive.net, and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right, or call them at 866-762-9238, that's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com, that's E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. Many of our listeners are already taking the products that EnerHealth has to offer, and we thank you for that. Their EnerFood product can extend the life of your dehydrated food supplies by one-third, simply by taking one tablespoon a day. In essence, the EnerFood and coconut combined constitute a meal replacement, so that can extend the life of your stored foods. And in addition to giving you energy and nutrition that your body needs, it has a two-year shelf life. Take a look also at the organic Coco Mojo and coffee, as well as our other immune-boosting herbal supplements. There are incredible specials for network listeners from time to time, so be sure to tune in often for important information and great prices. We trust that the information our hosts and myself give on these shows is truly helpful. We want to help reduce physical and other forms of suffering for you, your family, and community today and in the times that are coming. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy tonight's show.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Leal, and today is Tuesday, December 7th, 2010, the year of our Lord. For those of you taking notes, the website is watchmanscry.com. Well, here we are, folks. December 7th, the infamous date, 69 years ago, when America entered World War II. Here's something to think about, folks. On December 6th, the day before, how many average Americans knew what was about to happen? Well, I would say very few. Now, let's go to the Sunday before December 7th. That would take us to November the 30th. And imagine Christians sitting in a church. And if perchance a man of God with a prophetic gift would have visited that church on that day of Sunday, November the 30th, 1941, and if that man of God would have said that war is coming, get ready, death and sorrow are coming. Here's the question. How many of them would have listened? How many of them would have mocked and scoffed? How many of them would have sat there with arms crossed in defiance and also in anger that a person would insinuate such things happening to America? Because for the most part, many of those individuals sitting in the church may have been offended and said to themselves or to the person next to them, we're not going to see death. What does that crazy man think he's talking about? We're America. We're tough. And besides, we live across the pond. The Atlantic Ocean is between us and Europe, and the Pacific Ocean is between us and Asia. We would never be attacked. So I'm not going to worry about it. And of course, we now know the story. 1 week later, on December 7th, the attack did come. And death did arrive, and America did see sorrow. Much, much sorrow, because World War II began. So, folks, I have to wonder about this. What were the voices warning about back then? Were there prophetic voices who revealed to the people what was coming? You know, folks, it says in the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7, that surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. And what does that mean? That means that before God brings judgment to a land into a people, into a nation, he first raises up voices and messengers, and he fills their hearts with the warning message. And here today, God has raised up many, many voices. These voices are crying out all over the United States. They're crying out in other countries. And this is the thing that's really amazing, folks. The message is the same. If you were to hear the warning message coming from many of these people that are spread out through Europe and Australia, New Zealand, America, Canada, and then in other countries, you would hear the same message. And that is that this world has entered a new chapter. This world has an appointment, a judgment that is going to have many different events, many chapters. And that's what the show is about, my friends. You are listening to one of those voices right now. I'm not the only one. There are hundreds of us out there, even thousands of us. None of us are more elevated, higher than you. None of us are more important than you. But the one thing that we have in common is that we've been recruited. And some of you that are listening may also be those voices. And in addition to the voices that are crying out the word of warning to all of the people, God is also starting to stir up and raise up his remnant believers, his remnant followers that can hear this warning cry and hear the warning challenge, and that can raise up their hand and say, "Yes, Lord, count me in to be one of your soldiers, to do my part, to be a vessel that can be useful to you." And many of you that are listening are also in that group. And I want to encourage every one of you, no matter who you may be, I want to encourage you and let you know that you're not alone. You might be alone in your small town, in your household, at your job, and you might live alone and get frustrated because you know what's coming and God has shown you, but nobody around you wants to listen. My friend, be encouraged because you are not alone. Continue the vigilance that you are doing. Now, in this program, we are continuing to talk about the things that are approaching. There are many things that are approaching. As we find ourselves here in the first week of December, we can see that we just have a few weeks left of this year. And then it's going to be 2011. And the big question that I wonder about, what's in store for 2011? Folks, this nation is unfortunately changing before our very eyes. And this happened fast. So again, what is in store for 2011? Well, my friends, I believe that it's going to be the continuation of what we are already watching and observing and witnessing. And that is the arrival of police state America, the arrival of Gulag, Iron Curtain America, that restricts free travel and has an iron fist on all of its citizens. Many things approach, my friends. And just recently, in the last several days, silver has gone past $30 an ounce. That resistance that was holding it back, well, it broke through. And now, 1 ounce of silver is over $30, my friends. And how high is it going to go? Well, it's going to go much, much higher. In addition to silver, gold has gone past $1,400. Now, that story may be downplayed on mainstream news. Folks, this is a big thing. Because as gold and silver appreciate in price, it means that the world does not trust the value of the dollar. It means that the dollar is losing its purchasing power. And the bottom line of all that is tangible products are going to become more and more expensive. Also, the unemployment report came out, and as expected, it hasn't gone down. In fact, it continues to climb. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. We're also going to talk about the financial apocalypse that is approaching, the debt bombs that lurk. And also, we're going to talk about Mr. BB, who was on TV, America's Baghdad Bob. Helicopter Ben Greenshoots Bernanke was on 60 Minutes Sunday night, and he allowed himself to get interviewed and sweat while he told lies and while his voice quivered because he knew that he was lying to the world. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. And if we also have the time, we're going to talk about Police State USA and how Homeland Security has many plans in place to make life challenging for you in the future. Now, again, folks, here we are. It's the month of December. That means that the Labor Department has released their watered down, fuzzy math numbers for the unemployment situation. Why do I say they're watered down and fuzzy? Because that's their pattern. You know, folks, how many lies does it take to be a liar? And when we look at the Labor Department, we can observe a regular pattern that they have. Is it clerical error? No. It is an attempt to be crafty. It is a huge PR campaign to keep the native citizens of America relaxed in their impoverishment. So what do? They release numbers in a giant scheme to pacify the markets of America and the citizens of America. How do they accomplish this? By continuing to release unemployment numbers that are not factual. And if perchance the number is very shocking and it looks like it's going to be high, they have a way out of it. What they do is print a very low number initially. So they might say, last month, America only lost 5,000 jobs, when really the number was 500,000. So they'll go ahead and publish 5,000. And then 2 or 3 months down the line, they will release revisions of their wrong number and say, oops, it looks like our number of 5,000 job losses for November was an error. It actually was 500,000. So here's a revised number. And they will publish the revised number. But here's the situation when they do that. It's already several months later. And since they're also psychological schemers and who understand that most American citizens have dementia, they have short-term memory loss, when it's 2 or 3 months later, they don't care. And that's for the ones that actually hear the story, because for the most part, the story's not publicized very loudly. So here we have the Labor Department publishing a monthly report of how many jobs were lost. The unemployment rate rose to 9.8%. So what does that mean? That means that the unemployment rate went up because the official unemployment rate was 9.6%. U.S. employers added 39,000 jobs in November, but that fell short of the expectation of 150,000 new jobs. Now, if this story is true, when you think about it, this is actually bad news, because right now we are in the holiday Christmas season where retail merchants will hire a lot of temporary help for the Christmas rush. And 39,000 jobs is not really that much to be able to take care of the Christmas rush, which means that a lot of stores are not hiring a lot of temporary workers for the holidays. That makes November the 19th straight month that the unemployment rate has been over 9%. Now, when we compare that with history, we're in the longest stretch right now for unemployment to be over 9%. And this is going back since the Labor Department started keeping records in 1949. Let me also throw this in. We are mired and stuck in an economic depression right now. And you know, folks, I also find it very interesting that the media, journalists, the talking heads will not use that word, that we're in a depression. America is in a depression. They don't want to say it. Now, what's the reason that they don't want to say it? Is it because that's what their instructions are from the Ministry of Propaganda in Washington? You know, folks, I could see that being true, because when you think about it, the news channels are owned by corporations, and corporations want people to buy their stuff. And if the people know that we're in a depression, they might not want to do that. So let's just lie to them and come up with absurd phrases like a jobless recovery, and the people will fall for it. You know, folks, in some respects, they're right, because most of America is like sheep and they operate on the herd mentality. And whatever you tell them is reality, that's what they'll believe. If the people believe that we're in a jobless recovery, then they figure the reason they can't find a job is because they're just having bad luck, or their resume is wrong, or they haven't been properly trained, etc., etc. So they're placing the stress load of not being able to find a job on the actual worker, which is totally wrong, and it's deceptive. So if you may be listening right now, and you've been unemployed for a long time, and you wonder what your problem is, my friend, let me say this. There's a very high probability that the problem is not with you, because the nation of America has been stripped, plundered, looted, and peeled of all her factories and industry. They're gone, and that's why you can't find a job. But unfortunately, the American press is not going to say that. But I'm saying it right here. And here's the truth, my friends. The emperor has no clothes. What we are being told in the regular news is not the truth. It is a huge manufactured reality. This nation is in the middle of a crisis. And when we look at it through earthly lenses, what we see is a nation that is burning, that is losing her strength, and a nation that is sick. And that is why gold is rising so high. That is why silver is rising so high. That is why the jobs report is so terrible. And that is why some of you cannot find a job. So here's the question that I ask myself over and over. How long is this going to play out? My friends, please make no mistake. The worst is yet to come. It has already begun. It is already arriving. We are 2 years into this. We saw an intermission earlier this year, but now Act 2 is beginning, and Act 2 is going to be more brutal than Act 1 was. So please do not lose your vigilance. So again, the question, how long is this thing going to take? Well, folks, let me tell you what I believe. I believe that we are going to witness the end game, the final chapter for the American dollar as a world currency. How long is it going to take? What I have been observing is that it's happening in slow motion. It seems to be occurring at a pace that is not drawing a lot of attention from the average person on the street. It's drawing attention from people that are awake, but it's not drawing attention from the average person. And because of that, a lot of individuals are going to be blindsided as it gets worse and worse. And you know, folks, as we listen to interviews from officials from the Federal Reserve like Ben Bernanke, it's amazing that the conversations do not address the subject of the dollar's demise. They are not addressing the fact that at the rate we're going, the dollar is going to be dead, an extinct species. They are not even talking right now on how it's endangered. And they're not talking right now on the implications of what it's going to do to the future of this country, to the economy, to the landscape of this economy, to the health of this economy. And it seems that most of the people that are observing this event take place are the individuals who have their eyes open throughout the world. And now we are witnessing a reactionary event to the dollar occur, and that is gold and silver are climbing in prices. And my friends, in spite of the average person on the street's lack of foresight and lack of observation, even though they don't see what's happening, they are still going to feel the results of it. A few programs ago, I was sharing about how the commodities market is climbing in value, how the numbers are climbing as investors are taking their money away from the dollar and away from the euro, and they're putting it into commodities. And the bottom line result of that is going to be that commodities are going to be very expensive in the future, which translates to the man on the street paying higher and higher prices for his food. And that's what we're going to see happen, folks. Things are going to become more and more expensive. So a side note, admonition I would like to throw out is this coming spring, do what you can to get prepared to grow your own food, to raise your own food, and to be in a situation where you can have access to the privilege of growing food. You know, folks, when World War II started, food was rationed. And according to the size of families and according to commodities that were available, there were limitations on how much food people could have. But I've heard stories from individuals who lived back then, and they told me that people in the city were limited to what they could receive as far as food. But people that lived in the country had access to food beyond those limitations. Why? Because they had the ability to grow their own food. They had the ability to raise their own food. And because of that, people in the farms, people in the country, people that lived in rural areas, were able to fare those restrictions much better than people in the city. And even in addition to the war, when we go back to the previous decade of the 30s during the Great Depression, people who lived in farms also were able to survive much better than people in the cities. If we were to go back 100 years or 200 years into the Old West or to the days of the pioneers, we can easily see that any individual that lived back then that did not prepare in advance at the end of every summer and in the autumn of every year and store food would die when the winter arrived. And it was expected. It was common sense. It was part of the culture that everyone had a root cellar and everyone stored their root cellar with as much supplies and food as they could so that they could make it through the winter. Because they didn't have the convenience of going down to the corner 7-Eleven store. So the culture back then included the common sense approach that, by the way, is found in Scripture that said, work hard for the harvest, and look what the ant does. He works hard. He gathers. So that's a side note, and I want to challenge everyone that's listening. Folks, don't wait. A new year is about to happen, and the new year is going to bring with it a tidal wave and a tsunami of events that many, many people are going to have a hard time enduring. Now, last Sunday, Ben Bernanke was interviewed by 60 Minutes, and as I said earlier, he got on nationwide TV and lied to the American public. If you happen to see that interview, folks, you will see that his voice is shaking. and it doesn't sound like he's believing the words that he's saying. But in summary, what he said was the quantitative easing part two that they have enacted at the Fed may possibly be expanded. It doesn't seem to bother him because he defended the tactic, and he basically said that he saved the country by doing this. He also said this. He said, at the rate we're going, it could be 4 or 5 years before we are back to a more normal unemployment rate. Now, think about that, folks. What that means is some of the people that are unemployed right now may not find a job for 5 years. Is that what he's telling us? What's going to happen to the unemployment benefits? Is the government going to kick in 60 months of unemployment so that someone can make it 5 years? I don't know, folks. Another thing that we're facing, there is another mortgage debt crisis type of loan that is going to rear its ugly head in 2011, 2012, and part of 2013. And that is the arrival of Alt-A loans. And what those are loans that began with a low interest rate, and they're going to be resetting to a much higher rate. Those loans did not go away, and we have millions and millions more of these loans that are going to be resetting for the next 2 years. And as these loans are reset, there are more people that are going to foreclose and walk away from their houses. In addition to that, we also have the foreclosure mortgage crisis, the foreclosure gate, which is a story that has been rising up in the last few weeks. And then on top of that, we are also facing the commercial real estate bomb that's going to play out for years, where owners of shopping centers and commercial buildings are going to have to refinance their 5- and 7-year balloon notes that they have on their properties, and they're going to go to banks to refinance their notes. Many properties all over the United States are going to be coming due for their balloon payment in the next 1 to 3 to 4 years. And almost every one of these commercial properties are underwater right now. They are not worth what the loan amount is. So when Mr. Property Owner goes to the bank and says, you guys loaned me $100 million for this high-rise building, can I refinance it? And then the bank's going to look at them and say, well, your $100 million mortgage does need to get paid off, but your building is no longer worth $100 million or more than 100. Now it's only worth $80 million. In fact, you're upside down. You're underwater, $20 million, Mr. Owner. So if you give us $20 million, then we'll go ahead and finance you. And you know, folks, the majority of these property owners across the country are not going to pay the difference of what their property is worth. They're not going to pay the imbalance. Conclusion, there are hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars of commercial property that are going to be facing this bomb in the coming year into 2012, 2013, and 2014. So that is going to have a chain reaction with banks when the property owners cannot refinance. There is another looming crisis that we have not heard on the news very much, but this crisis, this category of financial calamity is also coming, and as it gets closer and closer, we are going to hear more and more stories about this. And what it has to do with is state and city debt that city governments in America will not be able to pay, and that state governments will not be able to pay. And because of that, we're going to see states like California, Illinois, New Jersey, New York, who are going to get further and further behind on their bills and eventually will have to default on payments to their vendors and to local governments. Arizona had to sell off several of their state buildings because they could not afford to pay a lot of their bills, so they sold these buildings, and now they're going to rent them back from the person they sold them to. City governments are liquidating their assets, and when has there been any other chapter in American history where city and state governments are having to lay off thousands and thousands of employees because revenues for city and state governments are not what they used to be, because the economy is not what it used to be? I'm not sure if we've ever seen that happen. And you see, folks, we can see these stories and hear these stories. Police officers are getting laid off. Fire departments are having to shut down firehouses. So in the future of this depression, as it continues on into 2011, we're going to see the debt bomb that's going to occur for city and state governments. You'll be hearing about it more and more, folks. Now, another thing that we're facing right now is the threat of war. South Korea and North Korea are continuing to wave their swords one to another, and the situation over there seems to be deteriorating. So recently, South Korea has been doing live firing drills and they're doing it off of their coastline, and North Korea is saying, you better knock that off because you're threatening us with war. And it seems that North Korea continues to release public statements that are very, very provoking. And it seems like North Korea actually wants a war. And you know, folks, I have to wonder why. Were they given the go-ahead? Were they given the green light by China to have a war? China has been saying to us that we want to distance ourselves from North Korea. And China also knows that a conflict would totally disrupt the economic gravy train that they have had in the past. So I'm sure that China doesn't want a war unless they have been given promises. And you know, folks, that's what I wonder. Did China and America meet in some smoke-filled room and behind the scenes somewhere? And did China say, all right, America, you can attack North Korea. We're not going to get involved. And you can go ahead and change the regime as long as you let us have Taiwan. You give us Taiwan, you can have North Korea. What do you think, folks? Is it possible that some kind of deal or arrangement was made like that? Or, this is another thing I wonder, have the elite of the New World Order met privately and they have decided that in order to go to the next phase of the New World Order plan, the world needs to engage in another world war, whether it's a limited world war or a long drawn out world war? Have they already agreed to the details of the coming war? Have they shaken hands and decided who the victor is going to be? You know, folks, I wonder about that because the New World Order does want to have a world war. That's the way that they're going to have ashes created. They have to have the chaos. They have to have the burning buildings. They have to have the ruins so that their new dream of a New World Order can rise up out of the ruins and the ashes. I don't know, folks. It looks like the teams are choosing their teammates. It looks like at this point, America and Japan and South Korea are going to be on one side. I believe Canada also has an obligation to get involved in the event that a conflict breaks out from a treaty that they signed many, many years ago. And then on the other side of the team, we have Russia, China, and North Korea. Is that what we're looking at, folks? Is it 1940 right now? And behind the scenes, the bankers and the elite and the politicians of the world are deciding how this thing's going to play out? I guess we're going to wait and see. Now, whether or not it's being arranged in a backdoor deal, or if it's just going to happen because both sides are angry with one another. You know, folks, we have seen too much evidence of involvement in world conflicts in the past. Involvement by rich elite bankers that just wanted to have blood money from bankrolling wars that would pay for bombs and tanks and machinery and weapons. We've seen too much evidence that the evil human factor gets involved in wars and has got involved with wars in the past. So with the coming war, is it a war where all the details have been worked out already or partial details? I don't know, folks, but this much I do know. A war is coming because when God sends forth the fourfold judgment upon a people, one of the elements of the judgment is the sword judgment, which is war. And God has already revealed that. Many of you have seen visions and images and prophetic dreams of war happening here in the United States and in other parts of the world. I've been emailed by many people who have said that you've actually seen dreams of atomic attack and nuclear war. So my friends, please take this message to heart. The tension in the Koreas is increasing. And if a war were to break out in the next week or two, how ready are you? Are you ready to face something like that? Now you might be saying, well, Nathan, what does that entail? It's just a war. We have a war in Iraq and in Afghanistan. No big deal. We're dealing with wars now. No, my friends, the kind of war that is going to come is going to be debilitating. It's going to be overwhelming. It's going to affect many people. It's going to affect many lives. A war with North Korea, it would take the sacrifice of bodies in order to carry out that war. So that is not something that I look forward to, my friends. And you know, folks, the human side of me does not want to face anything like that. But nevertheless, war is coming. So what do we do, folks? What are you going to do? You listen to these programs? Many of you are getting on board, but still, there are a lot of individuals that just listen. Listen for the sake of contemplation. Listen for the sake of thinking about it. Or listening for the sake of entertainment. My friends, I do not wish this program just to be entertainment for you. I want you to be challenged. My prayer is that every person listening will have their life changed because something different happened in your life. Because a light bulb went off from the Holy Spirit that revealed some things, that showed you times are going to be different and that challenged you to begin preparing. Well, it looks like we're reaching the halfway point. In the second half, we're going to continue talking about some of these things. And also, we are going to talk about the blindness that is over society. We'll see you in a few minutes, folks. We'll be right back.
Now, we're going back to the Health Ranger, and one of my sales guys pointed this out. They go, you know, the Health Ranger really loves Interfood, and it won their best superfood 2009. And so, you know, asking what he thinks about it, but I'm putting him on the spot here. But I remember about 5 years ago, I got some of this sent to me, and I was so busy, I didn't even call them back because they wanted to be sponsors. But years later, we came back. My wife loves it. It's two little scoops in the morning in water or juice. You drink it, and it's 20 superfoods at once, and that way you absorb almost all of it. Even with the best vitamins and minerals, a lot of it gets passed through you, and you've got a lot of specials there on the site for Alex Jones listeners. Interfood.com or 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, Interfood.com. And give us your brief take on Interfood.
I did give it an award, an Editor's Choice Award. It's the real thing. And not only is the product really great, but the company's great. The people there are great. They get it. You know, they understand nutrition. They understand what's happening with the world, and they want you to be nutritionally prepared. And, I mean, that's the bottom line with this product. It's I use it.
Well, I know my wife gets upset when she runs out.
Yeah, it's really that good.
And she's a lot more health conscious than I am. I mean, I try to be. I mean, compared to the average American, I guess I'm okay, but I do have a lot of bad habits. But I noticed that when I first started taking it, I mean, it was almost like a drug or something. I mean, there's no speed, no caffeine in it, but it's almost like jolting to have real nutrients.
It makes you alert without any kind of caffeine type of buzz. No stimulants whatsoever. It just basically clears out your system. And it makes your brain and body function better. You know, I mean, superfoods are really powerful for doing that. And with Interfood, he's combined a lot of the best ones in the world. I don't give out a lot of awards. You probably know that.
And the key is they don't pasteurize it either, so it doesn't lose the...
Yeah, exactly. So you've got the nutrients that are destroyed by heat. In Interfood, they're not destroyed. They're intact. And that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Okay.
Watchman's Cry Ministries would like to take a moment to say thank you to our sponsor, Steve St. Clair of InnerHealth Botanicals. In these days of chemtrails, modified food, and chemical additives, it is more important than ever to do what you can to protect and improve on your health. So head on over to survivetothrive.net and check out their products. That's Survive to Thrive, S-U-R-V-I-V-E, the number 2, T-H-R-I-V-E.net.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Leal here. The website is watchmanscry.com. Today is Tuesday, December 7th, 2010, the year of our Lord. And before the break, we were talking about many of the events that are going to be facing us as 2011 arrives. And it seems that every week that we meet, there's something else. Gold is climbing. The TSA is molesting people. Wars and rumors of war. And as we go back week to week, we can see that this thing in the world is deteriorating. The stability of the world is deteriorating. And logic would show us that as those things deteriorate, eventually we end up with something that looks entirely different. And as we look at America, we can see the liberties of free citizens in America are deteriorating. My friends, I propose that the America that we are in right now, the America that we exist in today, is no longer the America that we remember as young people. America has now changed. America is no longer that free country that we sing songs about, that we write poems about. My friends, the TSA intrusions that are happening at the airports are going to be spreading to other locations in the nation. And a few programs ago, I talked about that. I said, are we going to be seeing these in courthouses and bus terminals, train stations? And it looks like, indeed, that's what's coming. Now, in addition to that policy, Homeland Security has also been conducting another policy. And this policy is going to be spreading, in my opinion, folks, throughout the entire country. Now, there was a policy that was originally started in New York City with their transit authority and their subways. And this policy was called the If You See Something, Say Something campaign. Homeland Security started it in New York City with a grant of $13 million. And what this program was basically what it said. If you see something, say something. In other words, it's an anti-crime campaign that involves citizens, police, and neighborhood groups. And basically, you're watching out for suspicious-looking characters. And if you see someone that looks suspicious, or if you see something that looks suspicious, then you're supposed to report it and say something. Now, on paper, that program might sound good. The Metropolitan Transportation Authority in New York City put up a lot of posters in their subways. And basically, it said that the MTA thanks our passengers and reminds them to be alert for unattended packages, be wary of suspicious behavior, take notice of people in bulky clothing, report exposed wiring or other irregularities, and report anyone tampering with surveillance cameras or entering unauthorized areas. Those were the basic elements of the program when it first started in New York. Since then, it has spread to Washington, D.C., where it's basically doing the same thing. If you see suspicious-looking people, then say something. Now, again, folks, on paper, I could understand where that program has some well-intentioned elements. For example, one of the things they say is, if you see unattended packages. Now, of course, a terrorist would do that. They would leave a package, walk away, and then call it from a cell phone, and it would blow up. So that one makes sense. But see, tyranny always uses partial truth with its scheme. So part of the truth is there's a scary person that wants to hurt you. There's a terrorist that wants to blow you up. So he's going to leave a bomb unattended and it'll blow you up. So be looking for that. But also while you're at it, be looking for these other things. So other things are added to the list. And one of the bullet points of this list are if you see people in bulky clothing. Now, folks, how absurd is that one in the middle of winter in New York City? It's a snowstorm outside. That guy has a heavy coat. I'm not sure he should have it on. Go frisk him, officer. Nathan, you're splitting hairs. That program's a good program. It made the subways safe. Okay, I'll go ahead and give you that. The subways became more safe because every passenger in the subway became a stool pigeon to rat on every other passenger. Okay, it was safe. You know, folks, in a police state, the crime goes down. Whenever you have a soldier at every corner with a machine gun, there's not much crime. Whenever you have soldiers at checkpoints at various intersections in the town, crime goes down. So that's not my point about keeping people safe. But let's put that aside. That program is in New York, and now it's in Washington, D.C. Well, Homeland Security is now spreading that program. And that program has now spread to the hotel and lodging industry. Now, what does that mean? That means that Homeland Security has got in touch with all the hotel chains and has sent flyers to the lodging and hotel industry, and they have sent training videos on how the hotel employees can be on the lookout for bad people that would come and stay at their hotel. And I have a printout of one of their flyers right here in front of me, and I'm looking at it. And I downloaded this from Homeland Security's website. I went there and did it, folks. I was brave. So here's what it says. It says, Department of Homeland Security, Hotel and Lodging Industry. Are you aware of suspicious activity? Hotels and lodging facilities can be venues for criminal and terrorist activities. So be alert to any person who behaves suspiciously or engage in unusual actions. These may be indications of criminal or terrorist activity. By the way, folks, they also sent this to bed and breakfasts. Now, here's a list of things to look for those bad people that are going to stay at the hotel that are criminals or terrorists. Number one, nervous guests or evasive attitudes and attitudes that are overly concerned with privacy. Isn't that interesting, folks? If you want to remain anonymous at a hotel or a motel and you don't want Big Brother knowing where you're staying, shame on you. You could be a criminal or a terrorist if you have that attitude. Here's another one. Denial of access to the room or refusal of allowing the cleaning crew to come into your room. So if you do not want the cleaning lady to come into your room because you have valuables in there and you don't want them to get stolen, even though that's your reason, that's not a reason good enough for Homeland Security, because If you don't want them in your room, that could mean you're a terrorist or a criminal. Number three, look at this one, folks. Insistence on cash payment. So if you want to be a shrewd, good steward, not use a credit card on your trip and just use your cash, using cash is a no-no, folks. You could be a criminal or a terrorist. And of course, the last two are obvious ones that probably a terrorist would be doing. For example, attempting to gain access in restricted areas, the mop closet, I guess, or taking notes, pictures, and locations of video cameras of the hotel. I could understand bad criminals and terrorists would do that. But the first three notations of suspicious behavior are absurd. These are what normal people would do 10 or 20 years ago to remain anonymous, to use cash, and to say, nope, you don't have to come into my room. Now, when I was at the Homeland Security's website where they had this flyer, I noticed that they had some of their training videos there for this new program, If You See It, Say Something program. So I downloaded the video to train hotel workers on what to look for. And I found it, I don't know, folks, I found it absurd. I found it disturbing. And in some instances, I found it actually amusing because I watched it with my wife and my son, and we actually laughed at how absurd some of these things were. So I'm going to play a portion of the video for you. Listen to this video. This is from Homeland Security. Okay, listen to this.
Crowds of people, open doors, arrivals, departures, bags and parcels. The same things that make America's hotels and motels inviting for guests make them attractive targets for terrorists and criminals. As someone who works or stays in hotels or motels, large or small, center city or roadside, full service or family style, you can help keep them safe. If you see something, say something.
Can you put a credit card on the room?
No credit card.
Terrorists and criminals do their best to cover their tracks. This may include paying in cash or using false identification.
Hang on a second. Let me call you back.
I'm sorry,
Bobby. What's up, Suzanne?
I have this guest who wants to stay for a few weeks and wants to pay in advance in cash.
Well, cash is money last time I checked. What's the problem? Did you ask him for a credit card?
Yeah, I did. He said he doesn't have one. He doesn't use them.
No credit cards? How about an ID?
Well, he gave me one. It just doesn't feel right.
Problem?
I guess it's not a problem. It's just weird.
Interesting, huh, folks? If you have cash, shame on you. Or if you want privacy. So there you go. If you're interested in seeing this video in its entirety, you can just Google Hotel and Lodging Advisory from Homeland Security, the video, and you will get to watch it. All right, so there you go, folks. You know, my friends, any student of history that studies how tyrants came into power, we see over and over, they don't do it immediately. They don't do it quickly. They don't do all of it overnight. Most of the time, it's gradual. Because that's how the enemy works. All schemes are gradual. And what we see happening right now in America is that the noose of tyranny is getting tighter and tighter over America. It's getting tight, folks. We're losing our freedoms as we speak. But it seems like since 9/11, there was an influx of loss of freedom. But since George Bush was the president, most evangelicals sat on their hands and were not alarmed. So a lot of legislation got passed. And now, since Obama's been in office, we have new legislations that are just in your face. Or now, there are some practices that are taking place. They're just doing it now. For example, this Homeland Security See It campaign, that's just their policy, to spy on everybody. So, as the police state arrives here in America, we're going to see the loss of more and more freedoms. With so many events that are coming, I want to ask this question, folks. Why do so many people resist still? Why do so many people doubt? So many of the people that you may talk to, that you may converse with at your job, why do so many of them resist the warning message when you share it with them? Why do they doubt? Why do they deny it? Why do they scoff it? Well, this is what I want to talk about in the last remaining minutes of this program. Now, when we look at the United States of America, or when we look at the world, if you live in a different country, we have different categories of people. We have believers who are awake. We have Christians that know what's going on. They know what time it is. And most likely, hopefully, that's the group that you're in. you know what we're facing. Your eyes are open, and you're striving to know as much as you can. Now, that's one group. Another group may be Christians who do not know what time it is. They do love the Lord, but their Christianity is a little bit tempered with just feel-good, fluffy, cotton candy, easygoing gospel, where nothing bad ever happens to a believer, and God is not the kind of God that would allow bad things to happen to his children, or trials or persecution. That's the other group. And then there's the non-believer. The person, they're not living for God, they're living in the world, and they're doing their own thing. Now, among these groups of people, non-believers and believers alike, here's the question. How are these individuals going to find out what's happening and what time it is? Because if they just watch TV, they're not going to find out. If they don't read news stories on the internet, they're not going to find out. So for the most part, the information of what's coming can only be given to them when somehow they hear it from somebody else. So whether they're a non-Christian or a Christian that is not awake, the only way they're going to know is if someone tells them. The people that could tell them could be a friend at work, a family member, or it could actually be a pastor that tells them. Or it could be an audio message or a radio show like this program right here you're listening to. So there's different venues. But in order for someone to hear, someone needs to tell them. Now, let's talk about pastors for a second. Pastors are in leadership. They have flocks under them. They're supposed to be shepherds. They're supposed to be in tune with what's going on in the world, with what's going on in the lives of their people, with what's going on in their town. And they're supposed to guide their sheep, their flock, away from danger, keep them safe, teach them, nourish them, equip them, and take care of them, feed them. That's the pastor's job. Many people depend on a pastor to show them that. Unfortunately, many of the pastors in America today and in the West are leading their people to a trough that is full of candy, a trough of motivational talk, a trough of life coaching self-esteem speeches. And what I have noticed when people are given a regular diet of this sort of gospel, my friends, is that most of those people do not want to hear that God is going to judge this country, and they do not want to hear that perilous times are coming and they need to be getting prepared. So as a result, they will deny the message. They don't want to hear it. Now, is that the only reason? Because they just want happy messages? Well, there's another reason that some people do not want to believe the warning message. And here's what it is, folks. It is a spiritual reason. Now, this reason that I'm about to share, I'm going to share some verses in the Bible before we're done. And I hope that it will help to explain some of the challenges that you face when you're trying to warn your friends or your family members. And here's what it is, folks. Right now, we see a spiritual element playing out before our very eyes. If we go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 50, verse 6, it says, "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray." So there you go, folks. That is one of the reasons why many Christians out there do not want to believe. It's because they're believing their shepherds, and their shepherds are teaching them wrong. Now, this passage of scripture that I just read comes from Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51 are references to Babylon, America. And whenever you have a chance to read those two chapters, read them through the goggles of, could this be America? And you will see amazing similarities, because it describes a nation at the end of time that is the hammer of the earth, that is the earth's most powerful nation, that is a nation that used to have the heritage of God, that was begun with the heritage of God, but that departed from the heritage of God, that also has pastors living within that nation. So in Jeremiah 50, as I just read, God says, "My people have been lost sheep." So this is one of the things that I want to bring forth. My friends, I'm not going to tell you where to go to church. I'm not going to tell you to keep attending your church or to try to find a different fellowship. But I want to throw this out. According to this verse I just read, that is a caution. That means beware, my friends. Beware, because some shepherds do lead their people astray. They lead them astray through a lot of different means, primarily through an easy gospel. But be warned with that, and that's something for you to chew on and for you to think about, and also for you to think about. Now, that is not the only reason that some people reject the warning message. There is another reason, but this is also a spiritual reason. In Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 17, by the way, we're still in Jeremiah 50 and 51. In verse 17, it says, "Everyone is dull-hearted without knowledge." You know what that means, folks? That means their senses are dull. That means they're kind of drowsy. That means they don't have discernment. Now, did this condition happen because they were born with it and they can't help it? Well, actually, no, my friends. This condition is the result of not having a love for truth. Because there is a great divide that is mentioned at the end of time between those that call themselves Christians and then those that are actually truly the remnant of God. And those that are truly part of the remnant of God are those that have discovered that they need to be striving for God much, much harder than they have in the past. And many people who at one time were satisfied with the greasy grace gospel and satisfied with living a life of constant repenting, constant stumbling, eventually at some point those people got tired of living that way. They wanted to aim higher. And hopefully many of those people are the ones that I'm talking about right now. Hopefully you're some of those that I'm talking about. You are in that group that I'm talking about. But those that are not in that group, that do not have a love for the truth, God allows them to be affected with an elixir, with a hypnotic drink of the world's Kool-Aid. And God allows them to partake of that drink because they don't have a love to strive for God. So as a result, God allows them to be drunk with deception. And in Jeremiah 51, verse 39, it says, this is God talking, I will make them drunk and sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, says the Lord. And then I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter. So because the people did not have a love for the truth, God is going to allow them to bear the brunt and the penalty for not having the truth. And how does that happen? Because they're in a stupor. They're not able to associate truth with what they hear around them. And they're not able to discern what is truth and what is a lie. In verse 57, it goes on. Again, God says the same thing. I will make them drunk, and I will make drunk her princes and wise men. This is talking about the leadership of the country. In other words, the politicians. I will make them drunk so that they don't know what they're doing. Her governors, her deputies, her mighty men. See right there, folks, the politicians. God will blind them. And they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, says the king. Now, again, it's mentioned right there, folks. In judgment, some people get it and their eyes are open, but others, God allows them to have the Sandman sprinkle the sleeping pill in front of them. So we can see that during the time of judgment, in Jeremiah chapter 15, 51, by the way, these verses have to do with the end of time when Babylon is judged. So during that chapter in time, the native citizens of Babylon, the majority of them that are not part of the remnant, are going to be in a stupor. They're going to be drunk with hypnotic elixir. They're not going to be knowing what's going on. Now, many of you can already attest it's frustrating when your friends don't listen to you. Well, now that I'm reading this verse, that's to show you it is a spiritual condition. Now, why is that? Because this is also a last day's illness. It's a malady caused by several things. Now, we just read Jeremiah 50, 51, at the end of time, people will be in a stupor. Now, let's look in the New Testament, and there's more evidence that God does allow people to be blind, and it also explains why. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I have my Bible right here. I'm going to read another verse that talks about this very thing. And I'm reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Now, many of us have all heard that verse. We've heard about this verse, how bad it's going to be at the end of time. Verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves. That one's easy to see. They will be lovers of money. They want to be rich. They want the prosperity gospel has people loving money. They are boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. Now, a long list of the fruit of carnality right there, right folks? These are also people who consider themselves Christians. Because it says, having a form of godliness but denying its power. What does that mean? It means it's people that seem holy. It's people that go to church and sit next to you on a pew. And they may act holy, but you put them in a situation that is challenging, and you watch their reaction. That's where the rubber meets the road, my friends. The difference between a fake Christian and a real Christian is how they react. A difference between a submitted Christian to God and a Christian that is living in their carnal flesh is the way that they react when they are met with challenges. We see the list of the reactionary ways in the verses I just read. Unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, You know, folks, let me say this. This is a whole other sermon, and I don't want to spend too much time, but some Christians out there can be very, very mean and ugly and brutal and unkind to one another. And that's unfortunate. Most Christians that do that will deny that they did it, but it's very to see in many Christian forums today, Christians behaving badly with one another. That's a side note right there, my friends. And in some upcoming future sermons, I'm going to talk about that. But those people that have no fruit in their lives, that are reactionary, militant, mean-type Christians, are also doing something else. Look what it says in verse 7. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Forever learning. They go to church constantly, but they still do not know the truth. They don't know the knowledge of the truth. And I would venture to say, folks, I would submit this. Part of the knowledge of the truth happens to do with what time it is. That is an element of the truth. And knowing what time it is also includes the knowledge of why it is. In other words, the present time indicates on the heavenly watch of God that it is time for America to be judged. So people that have a knowledge of the truth have a knowledge and an understanding that America is under judgment. They have a knowledge of the truth. They understand it. And they understand these things must be because they see the evil happening in this world. They see the evil of America. And they understand and they say, yes, this nation needs to be judged. It deserves to be judged. The evil around me makes me sigh and cry. The evil around me is vexing. Yes, we deserve judgment. You see, folks, to be able to hear it from a messenger and then say, amen, that's true, and then agree with it and understand it takes having a mature knowledge. But here's the situation, folks. A lot of people do not have this mature knowledge to know what time it is. How come they do not have this knowledge of truth? Well, if we consider what we just said from this laundry list that they're reactionary Christians, there's something missing from their walk with God. If Christians are having these elements in their life that I just mentioned, there's a lack in their walk. That's not good. In addition to that, we see in Jeremiah 15:51, they have a stupor over them, a sleepiness given to them by the power of God. And when we look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. You see, folks, it's a delusion. It's a spiritual delusion God allows them to be veiled with. So that stupor and that drunkenness mentioned in Jeremiah 15:51 is a delusion. What does that delusion look like? In the spiritual realm, it could be a crust over their eyes. It could be a crust over their ears so that they cannot hear the truth. Now, I've shared in previous programs that I have seen a great darkness that is coming. Now, am I making that up? No. Jesus himself said in Matthew 25 that when he told the parable about the 10 virgins, 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. And it talks about how 5 of the wise virgins put oil in their lamps and then 5 of the foolish ones did not. But they were all instructed that they were supposed to have it. And it goes on to say in that parable that at the midnight hour. So what does that mean? Folks, there's a hint right there. Right before Jesus returns, it's going to be a dark midnight hour. So you see, folks, if some of you might be frustrated that people aren't listening to you, keep praying for those individuals you're trying to reach and put it in God's hands. And as long as you did your part, then it's in God's hands, my friends. But please know this, there's a high probability that not everybody is going to come on board with the warning message. Not everybody will believe. But if they don't believe you, my friends, please do not lose heart. Please stay encouraged and please continue to do what you're doing. All right. Well, it looks like I'm out of time. I appreciate you for listening to these programs. Again, folks, go to my website, watchmanscry.com. Go to the audio page and you can download this and share it with your friends. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. All right, folks. Well, God bless you. Please take these things to heart and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.